Some Game 7s delivered. Some Game 7s did not. Specifically, the NBA Game 7s didn't really deliver.
Stud.
The Suns-Mavericks series. What? I think people are still picking up the pieces of what happened with the Suns and Chris Paul. Patrick Beverley spent all day on ESPN today just roasting Chris Paul. Spencer Hall, every day should be Saturday, had tweeted out earlier today, like, who are you waking up at 4:45 in the morning to roast on national television? Because that requires some dedication. Like, my resentment of you.
Out the box, too, by the way.
Right,
it's not like he has his own podcast or TV show.
Pat Beverley just,
he had those takes bottled and ready to go.
You got me on the ESPN car wash today? All right, let's go. I'm ready to go.
Hot and fresh out the kitchen.
Goodness.
R. Kelly style.
Goodness. So, yes, it did make me wonder, like, well, who would I wake up first thing in the morning to roast on national television? I know Julius Hodge would also like to roast Chris Paul.
We've given him plenty of opportunities. He always takes the high road.
He always takes the high road because Chris Paul took the low road. If you catch my drift. So very, very busy weekend, obviously, with all the Game 7s. Locally, the Game 7 that mattered was the Carolina Hurricanes and the Boston Bruins, which, going into the game, let's not act like everybody was all that optimistic about that Game 7. You had an opportunity to shut this thing down in Boston Game 6 after the lessons that you learned in Game 5. You don't want to give Boston the opportunity. You don't want to give them the life. You don't want to give them the idea that they can do this. And it was a tense game at PNC Arena on Saturday, which the Carolina Hurricanes ended up pulling out, even with an extra attacker goal by the Boston Bruins with about 20 seconds left to make that a lot closer than it appeared there in the third period. Here's my takeaway. Here's my big picture takeaway from the 7-game series against the Boston Bruins, Julio. We get so caught up in stars, right? We saw on Boston's side, they got Brad Marchand, they got Patrice Bergeron, they got Pasternak, right? That we tend to forget, and we want this tit for tat. Like, your big guys have to step up too. The name guys got it. Sebastian Aho has to be scoring. Svechnikov, he's got to be scoring. Your best guys got to be your best guys, right? Isn't that what we always talk about?
You say that all, and all I could hear is Dave Chappelle saying, women be shopping.
Women be shopping.
Your best guys got to be scoring.
Got to be scoring. I think we forgot that the whole point of the Canes this season has been about depth.
Yeah.
And the depth once again showed itself out in a 7-game series. Depth in that out of nowhere, Max Domi can score the two biggest goals of his life. That Antti Raanta, who we've had some questions about durability, even in this series, can. And there's been some galaxy brain thinking on Antti Raanta. No, he was excellent when he was healthy, and he was excellent on Saturday against the Boston Bruins.
I also think we like to apply NCAA tournament logic to the Stanley Cup playoffs, and it just doesn't work that way.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we think, the Canes, you know, they won their division, they're effectively the number 2 seed, right? Man, mm-hmm. A 2 always beats a 15. They should be blasting through these guys. And just take a look around at the rest of the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs. They were, quite frankly, amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to be that guy, but you tell me the best first round ever in any sport, and I'll show you this one, or at least compare you this one, because you had the Game 7 in New York and Pittsburgh, you had Game 7 Dallas and Calgary, you had Game 7 mm-hmm. Toronto, Tampa Bay. All deliver.
And this is why Gary Bettman, the commissioner of the NHL, doesn't want to get rid of this playoff format either.
Well,
I know this
I
is bothers
know
you.
If it's the format, but
well, the format creates these types of matchups.
But it also goes back to, remember the end of the regular season and Jordan Staal kind of shrugged about, hey, we've known since October the 8 teams that are going to be in, and that's what you saw mm-hmm. stratifying here. You saw the 8 best teams in the East kind of separate themselves. Some of them had that star power, Washington, you know, which saw their series against Florida evaporate also in a Game 7. You saw Boston with their stars, the way that they played. Pittsburgh has a 3-1 series lead, can't close it out because their star gets hurt. So to your point, the Canes got here on a collective. That's true.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll simplify it again for you. The Canes are at home. Jordan Staal's on the ice with the right people that Rod Brindamore wants him on the ice with.
Yeah.
It neutralizes. Actually, Bruce Cassidy did the smart thing, took Pasternak off that line because those were truly the only 3 people capable of putting the puck in the net for the Boston Bruins. And when 2 of them are occupied by Stahl in his line, then it becomes a math problem for Boston.
Yeah.
And that's ultimately what it comes down to. In my opinion, this series should loosen up a little bit with New York. This is another like-minded team that you'll see. But New York's also a depth team. So I think this is going to be a fun series. Kind of like last year, we saw the slog through Nashville, and it went six games. You're like, whoa, what happened here? Mm-hmm. What was wrong with the Canes? Nothing's wrong with the Canes. You know, styles make fights. And I think the Rangers are going to skate with the Canes. They're also a deep team. You're not going to sit here and wonder when the bread man's on the ice. Now, he's really good. Zibanejad's really good.
Mm-hmm.
Don't get me wrong. But they have more of a balanced lineup where you're going to go, oh, they look a lot like the Canes. They play a lot like the Canes, too.
This should be a fun series.
And Igor Shesterkin was the best goalie during the regular season. I don't think you could claim that in the first round of the playoffs. The playoffs are different, though. So we'll see how it goes. I'm looking forward to it already.
He's still not Henrik Lundqvist, right?
Does not have the vex Canes and hex that Lundqvist had forever over the Canes.
Because if Lundqvist was still in net for the Rangers, I don't care how old he would be. It doesn't matter.
Well, the bubble broke that one, right?
The bubble did tend to break that one, but I still go with what I know. And I know we had like a lunar eclipse last night. I'm talking like,
dude, the moon was unbelievable yesterday.
Well, I tried to see it last night, but I got cloud cover in North Hills, so it just was not.
Is that a humble brag? Or
no, I'm just saying where I'm at, there was cloud cover out in the G. Out in the G, you didn't have the cloud cover.
What was that?
I was giving you my location.
In Garner. Clouds in North Hills are kind of the same as the ones in Garner.
No, that's not true.
The moon was spectacular no matter where you were. But
anyway,
if there's cloud cover in your
my neck of the
particular
woods.
Bougie section
well, I live too,
of
I
this th- greater area.
Part of the problem is, too, is I live downhill. I mean, it's ridiculous. But anyway, I live down in the holler. I mean, let's be real.
Okay.
Anyway, point is, that with the lunar eclipse,
was it a blood moon? Was it a harvest moon? Was it a wolf moon?
I think it was a blood moon last night. It was like a super flower, not like a Mario fire flower.
Ooh.
Blood moon, but maybe it was. I don't know. You get the power up, and next thing you know, you're chucking fireballs. I have no idea. I lost my point. So let's talk about expectations for the Carolina Hurricanes. Rod Brindamore, the Carolina Hurricanes head coach. We talked about this Friday. This is not 2019. This is not, yay, we're back in the playoffs. Whee! Like, whatever happens is great. We're just happy to be here. This was year four of building up to a cup run, making moves to get yourself better. You could not lose. You could not lose Saturday. And Brindamore alluded to that.
It's such a different feeling coming into this one. You know, I think back in the other ones, it was like, you know, if we would have won, you guys might have been a little surprised. You know, like, this time around, I felt like it was our time. You know, and you know, our guys have matured, and I think they felt that too. So, you know, obviously happy for everybody.
When someone says it's our time, I mean, first thing I think of is Herb Brooks, but
yeah,
that might be too old. Is he John Cena? Like, who do we give credit to for the our time? Their time is up. Our time is now.
You can't see me?
Somewhere in there. Rod's definitely a Herb Brooks, even though he's Canadian, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure he has seen Miracle a handful of times.
By now, for
By
sure.
By now, you'd think that'd be the case. You'd think that'd be the case. Here's Brindamore today on the familiarity with the New York Rangers, which starts up Wednesday at PNC Arena.
Yeah, well, that's kind of what, you know, you ask about, you know, the preparation time. And well, we've had time because we played against them recently. So you're going to, you know, go back to that film especially and, you know, build off of that. And obviously there are recent games, but end of the day, yeah, it's always the same story. It's, you know, can we get to our game, you know, and then, you know, they're going to say the same thing. Which team does it the best is the team that, you know, should win.
That was Rod Brindamore, head coach, Carolina Hurricanes. Again, Wednesday, game one, PNC Arena. We'll be out there broadcasting from the Plaza. Friday will be game two. That's an 8 o'clock game, and we finally have a day in which we have potential drunken madness.
Feels like a full tailgate.
You think so?
Yeah.
Yeah, Friday people take the day off for an 8 o'clock game, a little hour later, get your wheels going.
I think our post-game audio takes are going to be spicy. They're going to be good.
We shall see. We got some more
post-game.
I think
the arena is going to be spicy.
When the Rangers won last night in overtime over the Pittsburgh Penguins, my initial thought was PNC Arena is going to be a circus this week. If you thought with Boston, you know, the whole go back to Cary, which is a self-own, by the way, such a self-own. Like, here, what I find funny, when
self-space-own, not you used to call me on the cell phone.
No, not, yeah. No. Not the hotline is not blinging. What I'm getting at is, this business where we're ripping New York people, right? You know, the Cary, the containment area for relocated Yankees. People were making fun of Boston, like, go back to Cary, go back to Apex. I'm like, what's the line of demarcation for a transplant in this market? This isn't 1995 anymore.
Where the smog is?
Or... That's what, like, okay, where are you from?
I don't think Boo Boo's paying attention.
It's fine. It's just Monday. where are you from? Like, where are you from exactly?
Right.
Like, there's a dwindling number of people who are originally from around here. Like, I ain't from around here. You ain't from around here. But, New Yorkers, go back to Cary. No.
Basically, Chip Alexander and Dave Allred are the only two people I know from here.
Yes.
Yeah.
And shout out to Hayes Permar. He's like,
Hayes, yes. Hayes.
Like, that's it. That's it. Like, that's where I'm at. I'm at a loss after that.
I got three. So, I think they all went to Broughton, too.
Yes. Shout out to Chip Patterson, too. Another Broughton guy from here. I'm trying to think about it, but I can't off the top of my head. Regardless. No, you don't make fun of them in Cary. No. Here's what happens when the whole New York thing comes about. All the Ranger fans come out of the woodwork, right?
There's going to be a decent amount of Ranger
fans there
Wednesday night.
What is the first rule of having lived in New York? If you lived in New York, the first rule of having lived in New York is?
Well, you love Derek Jeter.
No.
And the Yankees.
No.
You have to tell everyone how great New York is.
That's rule number one, how awesome New York is. Actually, in my book, rule number one of having lived in New York is you tell people you lived in New York. Yeah. Rule number two.
It's how much better New York is than where you are now.
And that really extends itself when it comes to food takes. Well, I go, if I could only find a decent bagel around here, well, then you know what? Go back. If the whole thing that's ruining your experience in Raleigh is you can't find a freaking good bagel around here, which is not true, you can. Well, then fine. Or pizza. We know where to get good pizza around here, for heaven's sake, from a New Yorker. So what the hell, right? Rule number three of having lived in New York is what?
Now the gift basket and Jeter? Or
No, you get back to rule number one. You just preface it by saying, well, you know, back in Brooklyn, .. Back in Manhattan, or rule number four, you're from New York, but not really. That's my other favorite. No, you're from New Jersey.
Yeah, I'm from New Jersey.
Yeah. You're not from New York. You could see New York. That doesn't mean you're from New York. There's a difference. You're from Jersey. Don't try to, like, own your Jersey-ness. Don't try to act like you're a New Yorker. You're not. You're from Hoboken. Okay? Stop it.
Not many people are actually from Hoboken either, but that's another
Why story. Not? Well, Frank Sinatra is.
And baseball, but that's what about covers?
You're from Hoboken?
No.
No, I know. I'm kidding. You got family in Hoboken, right?
My sister used to live in Hoboken, but a lot of people grow up outside, and then you do. A lot of people who work in the city live in Hoboken.
Yeah. All right. Anyway,
that was your other tip. You have to start working on that a little bit. It's not New York. It's not even Manhattan. It's not Brooklyn. It's the city.
I'm sorry. Yes. Sorry.
It's almost never Manhattan.
The city. It's the OG, alongside
Joe
Giglio. Eventually.
I'm going to get you that Jeter gift basket. I'll turn you around yet.
You know what? I don't want to do what's required to get a Jeter gift basket, just saying. Mainly because Jeter's not my type.
Shortstop? Is that what?
No.
Your shortstop?
It's not even that. He's
like
not
a third baseman? Is that what you're... No.
Nah.
Okay.
Nah, I was always more of a... I was more of a Jason Giambi guy.
Oh, yeah. First baseman?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
So we've had our Canes correspondent, Graham Hill, did a wonderful job as our Canes fan correspondent, brought to you by the Carolina Ale House. And we've been putting the call out for round two participants of the Canes fan correspondent. So Graham Hill, awesome job. We retire him as our Canes fan correspondent.
Just don't do what Rand did with Jock Peterson. Graham is still with us.
No, he's just retired.
He's not a racehorse.
I understand that.
Okay.
He's retired. Maybe we can put up a banner for Graham for round one.
There you go.
Made round one Canes fan correspondent. We have our round two Canes fan correspondent, Brandon Stanley. He's joining us now on the Heister Automotive Group Hotline. Brandon, what's up, man?
What's going on, gentlemen? Thank y'all so much for having me.
Well, thanks for participating as the Canes fan correspondent, and thanks to the Carolina Ale House. You're going to get a four-top table, $100 gift card to the Carolina Ale House. You'll also get a pair of tickets to go to a home game for the Carolina Hurricanes New York Rangers series. All right, so Brandon,
that's the good news. The bad news is you have to earn it.
You got to talk to us.
Like you're going to talk to us, and Dennis Cox, and Jonathan Rand. You're going to have to hustle this round.
We are going to work you, Brandon.
I'm sure I'll manage.
All right.
Perfect.
All right. So do I have this right? You actually played hockey for the Ice Pack?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I spent 1 year there. I was actually like 25 at the time, so I actually hadn't played competitively in like 6 or 7 years. And that team's actually nasty. Like, we went to nationals and did a bunch of crazy stuff. It's club level, but that team is very, very good. So I like barely played myself, but yeah, I was on the team.
Hey, that's cool. Hey, look, you played. You got the jersey. You had fun, and you now graduated the Canes fan correspondent. All right. So before we talk about the Rangers series, what's your overall takeaway of the 7 games against the Boston Bruins?
Oh man, well, I mean, I know it's cliche, right? But like you always say, throw out the regular season when you get to the playoffs, right? The Hurricanes obviously dominated the Bruins 16-1 in the regular season. And then they got pushed to the brink. So the Rangers, they kind of had the same thing, right? They won 3 out of 4 in the regular season. The one loss they had was to their backup goalie. Alexander Georgiev had the game of his life, 44 save shutout. And it was a 1-0 game till the very end. They scored an empty net and make it 2-0. And that's the only game the Rangers won against the Hurricanes all season. But once again, right, thinking they're going to – they're going to come out. They're going to do the same thing the Bruins did. They're going to push the Hurricanes. It's going to be a great series.
Brandon Stanley is our Canes correspondent for round 2, brought to you by the Carolina Ale House. Ale, yeah. Brandon, do you think there's an advantage? Both series went 7 games. Do you think there's an advantage for either team after the way that they played in the first round? For example, do you think maybe momentum might be on the Rangers' side after they came back against the Pittsburgh Penguins?
I mean, yeah, you could probably say that. I mean, well, see, for the Hurricanes, there's a good and a bad side to the way some of their stars played, you know? Because it's like Sebastian Aho and Andrei Svechnikov, Teuvo Teravainen, those guys really weren't at their best against the Bruins, I wouldn't say. But knowing the competitive fire of those guys, you don't expect that to continue, right? And the Hurricanes aren't a perfect team. You know, they have their flaws. The power play has not been great. They still have penalty trouble at times. And against a power play like the New York Rangers, you have to stay out of the box. Guys like Chris Kreider and Mika Zibanejad. So the Hurricanes definitely have things to work on. And I think this little break, they got a little bit more time than the Rangers did off having played last night. So this break should be good for them to see some film and kind of settle in and fix some things.
Brandon Stanley, he is our Canes fan correspondent for round 2. You can also be part of our Canes fan correspondent group. Graham Hill did a great job in the last series. Brandon's going to do an awesome job this series. You can too, and you can win a $100 gift card to the Carolina Ale House. You can also get some tickets to the Carolina Hurricanes New York Rangers series. All right, so here's my curiosity from a fan perspective. What do you think the building is going to be like on Wednesday and, more to the point, Friday for an 8 o'clock game?
Oh, it's very close to Canes After Dark territory.
It really is. And people are probably going to take the day off. There's going to be some tailgating. You get that extra hour.
Oh, absolutely. It's going to be rowdy just because of that. You got extra time to go out there, have your drinks, party a little bit. Well, I mean, we know what the environment's like at PNC Arena. It's always rocking. The deeper you get into the playoffs, it's only going to get more so. So I'm very, very excited to see what happens there. It's going to be great. It's going to be a great environment, as always.
Ranger fans are going to show out, though. That's the thing, because there were plenty of Boston fans in round 1. It's the New York fans that are going to come through, man. It was going to work.
From Kerry.
It is. Well, see, everybody's a transplant. We can't be making these jokes. We're just, that's a self-owned
right,
at this point.
That's fair. I mean, hey, my mom's from New York, too, so I guess I can't really say anything.
See? And, of course, the first rule of being from New York is that you talk about being from New York. So, look, that's where things are right now. But it would have been the same thing with Pittsburgh, too. If the Penguins were in this series, you're going to see the same thing.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, Brandon, congratulations, man. We will talk to you on Wednesday for your first official Canes fan correspondent hit. We'll see you there.
All right, awesome. Thank you guys so much. Talk to you then.
Canes are just fine. Oh, Tony D'Angelo seeing his old team.
Mm-hmm.
It's gonna be a little spicy.
There's a lot of former Rangers.
Well, that's
Fast
true too.
And
Fast
Shea.
And Shea. Yeah. So, but yeah. The one that people are gonna be looking for is Tony D'Angelo because he was told to go home by the Rangers.
Will they boo him like Boston did?
I'm not going to lie to you. That crowd last night at MSG was bonkers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've never seen MSG like that since maybe the Knicks in 94.
So, again, I've only gone to Madison Square Garden a handful of times. But my understanding is it's kind of like PNC. I think there's a similarity here, but not. I'm not trying to equate Madison Square Garden and PNC.
Okay.
But what I am getting at is,
I mean, Rangers fans are different. I mean,
that's what I'm getting at, in that the building is different when the people who are watching the sporting event in there are different, so to speak. So like PNC Arena for game 7 against the Boston Bruins is about as loud as it's going to get at PNC Arena, and it really makes that building hum, man. Can it get like that for an NC State basketball game? Yeah, sure it can. It just doesn't happen very often. It's just a different group. Same thing with the Rangers. I was there for a Big East game, different vibe than it was for an NBA game. Totally different vibe. I would imagine that a Rangers game is the best of the versions of Madison Square Garden crowds. Was it Ralph Russo, who writes for the Associated Press, a longtime college writer for the Associated Press, who's based in New York? He tweeted this out. He's like, look, Garden's a great building, but nothing tops a Rangers game in Madison Square Garden in terms of loudness. Who knows? Maybe it's just a fandom. Same with PNC Arena. It's a different level of loud for Canes fans, which, by the way, they set a record on Saturday with the most amount of people there. That is not the record for single event at PNC Arena. That honor actually goes to Metallica. In 2019, they got over 20,000 people in that building. What's wild is that has people on the floor. You're looking at around a 600-person difference between what the Canes game standing room only was versus a Metallica show with the crowd on the floor. So that was a packed building, I would imagine. It's going to get even better the further they go.
Those are club-level tickets they're basically selling? Where you don't need a seat is what I'm getting at.
Yeah,
That's how you get over that number.
That's how you get over that number. Speaking of PNC Arena, I was posted up outside the East Entrance again.
Our East Entrance. The OG East Entrance.
No, mine, since I'm the only one who actually goes out and talks to these people, because, well, Julio just hangs in the
back.
Did
it happen again?
Well, no, Julio was at a graduation on Saturday.
Oh, that's true,
But, yeah. Until Julio holds the mic and actually asks people for their reaction, I'm just going to say that.
Something tells me you're going to need me from our tri-state area people this week.
Yes,
Actually,
I am. Okay. We're going to have to talk about that. You're going to have to talk to your people.
I know, because I'm worried about you.
Why?
Because you have like this deep-seated dislike of things New York.
It's because of my South Florida coming out. Snowbirds.
Oh.
Coming on through.
Well, that makes sense now.
Oh, you could tell a New York driver when they're down for the winter. You could tell a New York driver.
You're not suggesting a Florida has good drivers otherwise.
Better than New York drivers. Just saying.
How about this? There are no good drivers anywhere.
This is a good point.
How about we just go that way?
This is a good point. It's like my father-in-law, Maryland drivers. I mean, like, yeah, it's all drivers. It's all drivers. Like, as if Delaware drivers were better than Maryland drivers. Why would you say that? It's not like you're covering a lot of ground in Delaware anyway.
Lamenting Maryland drivers reminds me of my grandfather talking about the bloody Yugoslavs. And my mom being like, Dad, you know, there's Koreans in the neighborhood. I understand this. You know, black people, I get it. But how do you tell when someone's a Yugoslav, obviously, in the middle 80s? And he says, you can just tell. The bloody Yugoslav. He was ahead of his time.
It was a different time.
But he was ahead of his time.
It was a different time. Let's go to PNC Arena after Game 7.
Never in doubt, right?
Well, we are going to win it. All the way, baby. See the beard? Here it comes. I'm coming after your beard, Ovius. Coming after your beard.
Let's go!
There we go.
He was saying beard up.
Games in four in the next series, baby. It's a sweep.
Four. All right, here we go.
It's a sweep.
We got one team.
Pause that right there. This is one thing I noticed about Boston fans coming through. Like, that guy is a Boston fan yelling, we got more teams! We got more teams! Talking about the Celtics. Cool. It was strange to me. There was one group of dudes that I saw. They had everything from Boston on with the exception of actual Bruins gear. I saw a dude with a Patriots hat and a Celtics jersey at a Boston Bruins game. You got no Bruins gear?
Remember, Ovius.
From Boston. That was like the only thing that was missing from that group.
The Canes play in Charlotte, remember? So
this is
big
true.
Hornets
this is
people.
True. Big,
yeah.
Big Hornets energy. All right, continue.
Never in doubt?
What do you need? Never. Oh, are you on the...
No, it's not live. I'm taping.
I'd like to say hello to the live world. Right.
Pause.
No. That was terrible.
That's Penn Holderness, by the way. It's Penn Holderness. Wearing Whalers gear, I might add. Be on the lookout for his wife, Kim, telling him he can't do something.
Continue. I'd like to say hello to the live world. Right. Okay. No. That was terrifying. Are you kidding me?
Oh, come on.
So, yeah, like, honestly, every other game was 5-1, so this one was close. And, yeah, terrifying.
Very terrifying. But you're
right.
Good now.
You were terrified, right?
Yes, I was.
Yeah. You were terrified.
Where's the beard?
I don't think I can pull it off.
Yeah, his nope. wife won't let him grow a beard. I know.
Later.
Wait a minute, Joe. What you gotta say? Come on now.
It was never in doubt, right?
Never
in doubt.
Never
in doubt.
You're an idiot.
I'm an idiot.
Turn that microphone on.
No,
I'll give
I'm
you
on.
Some
it's
to that
on, it's right now. It was never in doubt, right, Peel? Never in doubt.
I love you. You know what? Let me walk over there, and I'll give you some non-profane beauty.
I want profane. I can edit. Come on, just let it rip.
But I'm not, Ovius, I've known you for 25 years. You're not going to make fun of me for a bit on your show.
I am not.
That's not going to happen.
I'm not going to make fun of you.
I can curse these people without profanity. Put that oops, see?
Oops.
Whoa! What kind of an individual would eat warm milk and fish and call it food?
Who did that?
It's disgusting.
That's a good point.
People talk about barbecue, and you're eating warm fish and milk? Jesus Christ. You pressed my boy.
Enjoying all the people yelling at
me. I know, it's so obnoxious. We should wear the right shirt. Okay? Wearing the right shirt.
Yes, so today in Boston, this was appropriate.
Thank you.
Take it easy.
There you go. That was the scene from the East entrance after Game 7, Canes over the Bruins. As I was walking out to the parking lot, there was Miller High Life 40s being popped. The champagne of beers, appropriate. Appropriate.
That is the one thing that I'm disappointed by in the hockey playoffs. They don't celebrate the same way. Like in baseball, when you win the wild card, they're like spraying the champagne.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
doing
yeah,
all.
Yeah.
They celebrate each round. They got that Roy Williams thing going. Hey, man, we won something. We're celebrating.
Mm-hmm.
In hockey, when they win around, it's like, hey, you need to do 68 Kaiser chops and 75 minutes on the treadmill. And it's like, okay, cool. Maybe I can celebrate this one. Maybe we'll go catch State and Duke in baseball. I mean, mm-hmm. Come on, Rod. But they don't do that in hockey.
No, they don't. They don't. Well, that what's funny is there was a quote. I don't think we have the audio, but it was from Jordan Staal, the captain of the Carolina Hurricanes. And I'm paraphrasing here, but he was essentially saying, well, how would you expect Rod to be ahead of a Game 7 against the Boston Bruins? He was Rod. He was the same thing. Like, nothing changes. And I guess that's one way of looking at it with the Carolina Hurricanes. We get caught up in the day-to-day. I still maintain they shouldn't allow this thing go to 7. I really don't. I think we understood that the Canes 5-on-5 were better than the Boston Bruins. They didn't cash in on some of their opportunities. They should have closed it out in Game 6. Fine. I understand that the NHL this year, specifically on their side of the draw, not necessarily the West, but their side of the draw, it was a lot deeper. These teams were more competitive. I get that. And this next round against the Rangers is going to be just as competitive. Different, but competitive. We see what this Tampa-Florida series is going to be. That's going to be off the charts. Which, by the way, shout out to the old South Least, ladies and gentlemen, with the rain, with the Panthers, the Lightning, and the Hurricanes out here being three of the best teams in the NHL all year long.
I'm sorry, did you say the Panthers?
And the Lightning.
And the Lightning?
And the Lightning.
Oh.
But Rod is the bellwether of the team. And there can be some galaxy brain thoughts as to whether or not Rod was too late to adjust, or he didn't adjust enough. And it's like, no, they believe in their system. They feel that it's going to take care of itself, and that proved to be true against the Boston Bruins. They won the series. You might not like how they went about winning the series, like me, but what am I going to say? They still won the series, and they won it in a way that is true to what the Hurricanes have been all season long. A deep team. A deep team. And that depth coming through with who's scored. Or sometimes looking at it a little bit differently, and that we get so wrapped up in who scores, and we don't appreciate things like Jacob Slavin, who game seven was phenomenal. I mean, he's great every night.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to act like, you know, he's a wallflower half the time. It's just that in game seven, it was abundantly clear he was taking Boston's lunch multiple times. It's fun to watch.